The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we all right or are we all wrong? Or do we all not know? Is everybody correct? Yesterday, I posted a question. And I was just curious, because I've been on the phone with Lima several times, and I was just curious as to what Kenny Atkinson does that's different. Better? I think that obviously you have to say better, 12-0 to start the season. That's pretty damn good. But what does he do that's different? And I said, what the hell? Let's throw it out there to everybody. Tone, I got not just a whole bunch of responses. I have an innumerable amount of different responses to what he does, either different than J.B. Bickerstaff, Kenny Atkinson does, or better than J.B. Bickerstaff, Kenny Atkinson does. And I'm going, man, I looked at all of them and I go, I don't think any of us really know. Or we just all had a gripe with J.B. Bickerstaff, and somehow, because they're 12-0, so through 12-0, Kenny Atkinson has massaged each one of those gripes. Where do you stand, my friend?
I think Atkinson has obviously been great. You could just look at the record and see that. They're not fluking their way to this incredible start. They're the best shooting team, if you go by true shooting percentage, in the NBA ever, in the history of the NBA. So obviously that helps. When you see like the game the other night where they didn't even need Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland in one of their huge lineups, they went with everybody but them. And still, actually, that lead ballooned up. Like, they are finding every which way to do it. And the beauty of this is they're not even like doing what the Knicks do, where they've got to go balls to the wall for 48 minutes and leave Jalen Brunson in for 42 minutes. Like, they're not doing that. Yeah. Everybody is coming in. And I think if you were this is a very vague thing. I just feel, God, this sounds like such a weird coach empowerment thing, but like they feel empowered to play good basketball, and they're all doing it. Like, they're all confident right now, and that's not something like X's and O's. I heard somebody say, "Well, they're cutting more." Like, I watched for 2 years the Cavs bloggers tell me the stuff that JB was running was some of the best in the league. Like, look at this play, look at this play, look at this play, and that went away last year. You know, when they were struggling against Orlando, they're not running anything good.
Yeah.
It's like, I think we get a little caught up in that stuff.
I want 216-474-0092. If you're up bopping around today, it's 12. They're 12-0. They got a game tonight. This counts towards
they
the NBA Cup,
again?
Right? Yeah.
That's all they do is play games. That's the other thing about this. They've played more than anybody else.
Well, they have, because they have to fit them in before, like, you have like a week of up in the air because we don't know what's going to happen with the NBA Cup. And then you also have the All-Star game, and then you have to kind of fit it in where it's like, all right, we can't play back-to-backs, but we can play every other night. So they're going to play it basically every other night is what's going to happen, instead of having back-to-backs. And it's like, okay, at this part of the calendar, you end up having like 4 days off. So I kind of want to know, like, what is it? Because I don't know if there's a wrong. They're 12-0. How could anybody have a wrong answer? But I do think it goes to show where I have that many different responses. That many. It's we either, again, we had a problem with J.B. Bickerstaff. Each of us had our own little peccadillo with J.B. Bickerstaff. And because they're 12-0 and because we're watching, and certainly with the way the Browns season has gone, we're definitely watching the Cavs now, that he's done something to remedy that. Or could it possibly be that, hey, Darius Garland's healthy and is playing as confident a basketball as I've seen him ever play.
That's by far the best.
Ever play.
By far the best he's ever played. And now, some people say that's Atkinson. They'll just say that's Atkinson.
And there you go. And they're empowered to play at that level.
That also kind of sucks for Garland. I mean, Garland puts in the work this offseason and obviously got in the right mindset. He's talked to it. And then to just have the coach being given credit for it, that's kind of got to suck. I'm sure he doesn't care right now because he's playing so well. But when, you know, we're taking calls from people and they're like, well, that's the Atkinson effect. Or is it the Garland effect? If you guys thought Garland was really good and had a lot of talent, we all did. We all have been through a roller coaster with Darius.
Uh-huh.
We all certainly thought he was a gifted player. My questions were about him in the playoffs.
Well, it got to the point where, earlier I said, hey, is Darius untouchable again? And you had said, hey, don't answer it, because you had said, well, are you sure you want to ask that question right now? And I said, why? And you go, well, they are 12-0. If we start talking about something like that, people are going to get mighty sensitive.
Even
I go,
say,
you know
Ty
what?
Ty Jerome untouchable. That's people go, no.
That's a hell
or
of a point.
People go, yes. People would say, we're not trading Ty Jerome.
We're not trading Ty Jerome. Is Ty Jerome a difference? Because, like, it's sometimes.
Which JB didn't have last year. Like, they. Guys,
they didn't.
The Cavs had, of all the contenders, arguably the worst point guard play of any team last year, of any of the good teams. Now, not only are they getting great point guard play out of Darius Garland, when he goes to the bench and Ty Jerome comes in, zero drop off. Zero. Like, and that's considering how amazingly well that Garland's playing.
It's true. And also, I mean, Evan Mobley he came to the league when he was 19. His name was not LeBron James, so you knew it was going to take a little bit of time to be mature. And what I mean by that is body-wise. I think he's a fine young man. It wasn't like he was acting a fool out there. But I mean body-wise, like, you got to. There's a difference between a 25-year-old man and a 19-year-old man. We see that in the NFL all the time. That's why you should take the 3 years before you go to the NFL. You're playing with grown folks. In the NBA, I think it's the same thing. Like, you had brought up Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren's body is still failing him, and it failed him again, sad to say.
Did you see that? I think anybody's body would have failed that fall.
Yeah.
That was not good.
It was not. Yeah, maybe that was a little bit strong to say about Chet Holmgren, but still very difficult to deal with. But to see Evan Mobley start to take flight, I think, helps. It's like, well, if JB was coaching, if Evan Mobley was in year four instead of year one, would it have been different? Like, it's not a big, vigorous defense of JB Bickerstaff. Like, I thought, like, hey, this we're hearing enough where this run has come to an end. He did a fine enough job there, and we're hearing enough where it's like, hey, the players are thinking this. You know, it's Donovan's team now. He brought in his guys. You can look into that however way you want with whatever Easter egg you want. That's fine. And it seems to be it's time for JB to go. And this is not to say that Kenny Atkinson isn't doing a great job. How can I not say that Kenny Atkinson isn't doing a great job? They're 12-0. They're 12-0, and they've taken the city by storm. But I think it just goes to show that over time, you will have so many different gripes with a coach. And when a new coach comes in and you do this well to start things off, everybody had something that was satiated during this time, during this 12-0 run to start off this season. Everybody had a gripe. It was fixed. The refs, the whole ref thing, gone. Like, so I brought up to somebody, I said, well, Donovan Mitchell did have a pretty strong conversation and comment after the game last week, which are like, hey, but he didn't do it on the floor. And I go, you know what? Point taken. That's right. JB would get upset with the refs. I mean, everything.
Yeah, they were obsessed.
Everything. 216-474-0092. And I'll tell you what, that seems to be like the easiest scratch the surface thing. I go, even that, definitely 100%. Chris and Medina, you're first up in the fan. Hello, Chris.
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
I think the big thing with JB is that we were hard, scrappy, get down in the trenches. You know, win by 2 points if we had to, hold them down to under 100 points if we had to. And, well, yeah, defense is important, but now we're seeing that offense is a lot important too, and getting Evan Mobley to go coast to coast, holy cow, he can do that. It's a great thing to see that Mitchell doesn't need to score 30 points every night for us to win.
Well, I also want to know, and Chris, I think that's a hell of a point, and thank you very much for it, because it's not just, I mean, you had mentioned this before, Tone, and Chris, you hit on something, thank you for the call. Who is it? Jalen Brunson. You mentioned Jalen Brunson before the show. You got to score like 40 a night for the Knicks to be like that type of team. You're not needing Donovan Mitchell to play 45 minutes and score 45 points a night. You're not needing to do that. Like last year, it felt like there was a lot of times you needed to do that. A couple of years before, like when was it? Was it the year right before they brought in Donovan where they had that like 10-1 start and they were blowing teams out? And there was a lot of like, is this sustainable? And you were like, nah. I mean, both of us were like, I don't know if it's sustainable in that case.
Yeah, this seems different.
Might have been 2 years before that even.
They've had great runs. This is the thing about the Cavs. They have had exceptional runs almost every year for like 5 straight years. They have had moments in time.
Yeah.
The Cavalanche thing isn't something that just started this year. Last year, remember, they went 17-1. And that was not with a healthy Cavs team. But this does feel different. This feels, because it's all their normal team with the exception of Max Strus, this feels like something that they could be able to replicate come playoff time, especially if, you know, Darius has this level of confidence. And he's the one that, you know, we do wonder, I've never questioned his talent. I've never once questioned that.
Clearly.
I've always questioned when the games get more physical, he's one of the smaller point guards. Like, how is that going to go once the playoffs start? Like, he has had really rough moments in the playoffs. The Cavs have had not a lot of playoff success. I mean, their playoff success was beating Orlando, a team they were supposed to beat last year, and they barely got by them, and they needed a second half in Game 7 to be able to do it. This team doesn't feel like that could happen to them, plus the Eastern Conference looks abysmal. I mean, did you see Philly last night?
Terrible.
Joel Embiid looks like he's not ready for basketball. He looks like he's 2 months away. He's probably not going to play tonight. They didn't have Maxey.
Oh.
Like, the Philadelphia is 2-8, and that was one of the teams that I said, all right, that's a team we've got to get past. Well, in a regular season, they've already
Embiid's not going to play. If Embiid played last night, he's not playing tonight. Right. He's not going to play back-to-backs.
So tonight should be.
But he was on record about that.
Right.
Yeah. So, scheduled win.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Joe in North Ridgeville.
They all feel like that right now.
That's true.
That's how good they're playing.
Joe in North Ridgeville, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Joe.
This is the best show on all of radio every morning.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Go ahead.
So, like, I think, I've been watching them this year a little more than last year even. I'm not a Bickerstaff fan. I think he should have been released 2 years ago.
Ooh.
But I think, like, when we started playing multiple rotations and bringing players in from the G League or, like, you know, up, that's when the Cavs played good last year. That's when the year before when they were like winning 6 games in a row and people are like, man, this is a good team. And Wade was playing. I think that's a lot more of better players now, development of the younger players that we're getting, and a lot to do with the coaching. But I mean, it's exciting. I have a 12-year-old that all he talks about is the Cavs now. He's like never talked about basketball. So this is great. Like it's a good thing for the city, and if it keeps it up, I just hope on Sunday they're still undefeated when we go to the game.
Well, it'll be awesome. I mean, even if they weren't, and I mean, they very well, let me get my book out. Damn it, where's my book? Joe, thank you very much for the call.
They got Philly tonight, Chicago Friday, Sunday is Charlotte.
Okay, very well, they could be still undefeated. I mean, they could be 14-0 by the time that comes around. Even if they weren't to be, I mean, Judas Priest, it's still an incredible run. I think, and by the way, you got Joe who's, it sounds like a football guy first. Maybe I'm wrong to say maybe he's a baseball guy, but it sounds like he's a football guy first. This is the best time for this to happen at the beginning of the year. It's like you're 12-0. The other team's not just not doing well. I mean, we got players talking about business decisions for crying out loud. I think that goes without saying.
And how welcome this is. I said this too. Like going to a Cavs home game for literally 4 years has been one of the best bargains, best bets in town. And I'm not talking about price. I'm talking about wins.
Show,
when they go,
winning.
They win. And not only when you go, and this was even under Bickerstaff, just the place, the roof seems like it's going to come off. It has like a college atmosphere.
They do a good job.
They do such a great job over there, and they win. They win at home. They've been doing this for 4 years.
216-474-0092. We're going to get back to this coming up in a bit.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, Kenny, in the Open, we mentioned going for it all with the Emirates Cup, the famed Emirates Cup, the in-season tournament. Well, we had games last night. Cavs were not involved. They don't tip off till Friday against the Bulls. But already teams in their group. In fact, the odds-on favorite to win the entire cup, the Boston Celtics, they went down in flames last night. It was a great game between them and the Atlanta Hawks. And the Hawks did not even have Trae Young in that game, but still beat the Boston Celtics 117-116. Do you think the Cavs are now the favorites? Should they be the favorites to win the whole damn thing?
I would say yes.
Really?
Whoa!
Yes. Whoa! Oh, all right.
All right. Well, I thought it was going to be a little bit surprising to people, which there were some who said, well, we shouldn't be worried about the Cup. We should be worried about the NBA Finals. I said, why not both? Why can't we get both?
Already,
and then
I've
people
seen...
said, well, what's it do for me as a fan? And I go, great point. I stand down because it does nothing for us as a fan. Except Ty Jerome makes a little bit more money with the way that he's played so far this season. I think he deserves a bonus. Maybe that in a free round of golf, anybody?
Mm-hmm. So already anybody? Celtics fans are, they're minimizing all of this. They're minimizing the Cavs because of the schedule that the Cavs have played. There was a tweet that was going
if I was a Celtics fan, I would try
yesterday
as well.
With all the Cavs injury luck that they've had against their teams, and not to mention they're saying they don't want to play for the Emirates Cup because it's two extra games and they don't want the wear and tear on their players. So they're like, go ahead, Cavs, you guys can have it. You guys can have the Emirates Cup.
They're NBA basketball games in December. They're not, it's not an Iron Man. It's not John Telich running the Burning 100 or whatever they call it. No offense to John. I just don't know what it's called, my friend. I apologize.
The Burning River?
Burning River 100. Not running through the woods for 100 miles.
Yeah. Now, the Celtics...
It's not the Barkley Marathon.
Look, the Celtics are coming off a championship, so I don't think they're going to care about the Cup as much as we will. The question is, will our fans care about it?
It just, like, Celtics fans remind me of, like, Ernie McCracken when he was doing, like, the hands in Kingpin, like, oh!
Well,
like,
why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, fine. That makes it fun. That makes this a rivalry.
I think we were all kind of doing it for the Lakers last year, weren't we? Weren't we all making fun of the fact they put up a banner? Now it's our
but
turn.
But that was with LeBron. See, this is different. And plus, it's our team. Go ahead. People like to be disrespected. It gives them a chip on their shoulder. Please keep disrespecting the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Vaughn, do you care, Vaughn and Parman, do you care about the Emirates Cup?
It's kind of 50-50. I think it'll give you motivation to win it all, the real thing. But I think it's good to have because what Cleveland been going through with the upsets with the Yankees and the Guardians and the Browns season going on.
So to lift up the spirits of the city.
Correct. And I was trying to piggyback off you guys. You guys had to go. Yeah, you got a commercial break. I was trying to piggyback off you guys. So, I breathe, eat basketball. I love basketball. And to piggyback on what you guys said,
JB. Congratulations on
I love that essay. That's funny. Well, JB did a great job with stuff. We got to really give him respect on that. But the thing is, he's a decent coach. Look what he's doing with the Detroit Pistons right now. He's playing better. The Pistons are playing way better than they did last year, right? But he's not that coach that could get you over the hump. And that's what Kenny Atkinson brings us to this Cleveland organization. He know how to finesse the pieces, to know how to sub in the players. JB didn't know that. He was so focused arguing with referees all day, he didn't know how to really – he didn't know how to really, you know, submit the pieces with the or the cast and the player. And let me piggyback on
something else. I totally agree. There's no actually there. I totally agree with that. Continue, Vaughn. Thank you, sorry.
And then let me tell you something else, too, about the Mesh Shoe trade. Now, I'd be digging to stuff every time we get new players. And I looked on the Miami Heat Instagram page. They were so happy that we took Mesh Shoes off their hands because he did not show up in our playoffs the year before we ended up getting him. And the way Ty Jerome is playing, I don't know how we find this guy Mesh Shoes some minutes because – I watched Draymond Green podcast. He said that Ty Jerome always had it. He used to kill guards in practice, but he always was an injury prone. And Max Schultz, he do not fit in with this lineup. He's not a starter. He's a role player.
I agree.
All right, Vaughn, we got to go.
I agree. Thank you, Vaughn.
Obviously, I've made my thoughts pretty clear on Max Schultz, but I am excited about, you know, just adding another shooter to what they're doing now. They're the best shooting team in NBA history. And now Max Strus is theoretically just going to come back in and get nothing but wide open shots. That should work out for him.
You think he'll be better now that Garland's better, too?
I feel like. How could he not, right?
Gravitational pull.
Usually Lima talks to basketball people. I actually spoke to somebody who is a legendary NBA figure. That's where I will leave that at. I'm not lying to you. Over the weekend, he says Ty Jerome is a steal, that there are so many people in NBA circles who don't just like him, they love him and think that he's one of the biggest difference makers for the Cavs and will be for their future. They're not sure if they got what it takes to win a title. It's a very hard thing to do, but if they do, they think that he is the one that fills in those cracks with you have your core four, Ty Jerome is the one that fills in those cracks.
Ty's been that. Exceptional.
Give me one hint on who that was.
Not going to do it.
Darius Miles.
No. Great guess. I said legendary, though.
That's him.
Oh, he's a good actor.
He's a legend to me.
He's a good actor.
I mean, two different legendary stints to me. The one with the Clippers where he did the thing with the head, where he put the fist up against the head. And then right before LeBron got drafted. There's some legendary moments with Darius Miles.
Legendary indeed.
Also, real quick, I know this wasn't exactly probably on your radar. You're probably sleeping, but the Warriors outlasted the Mavericks 120-117. It was a great game. Klay Thompson had six threes for the Mavericks going up against his old team, but Steph Curry, 37 points, and he had five threes. Meanwhile, we move on to college football, Kenny, and Ohio State. Standing firm.
Indeed.
They are in a great spot right now. The only difference with the seedings that came out yesterday with Oregon number one, Ohio State two, Texas three, Penn State four, five, Indiana.
But four of the top five are Big Ten teams, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Just means more right now in the Big Ten. It just does. Ohio State would play if everything held true, and of course we know it won't. They would play Miami in the quarterfinals now. Last week it was BYU. Now it is Miami, but they would still be slated in the first round to take on Boise State at the Horseshoe. Now, would that game be a noon kickoff? Probably not. But there is a lot of consternation in our state's capital and beyond. Buckeye fans complaining about all the noon starts because they're going to be at noon against Indiana this week.
No, they're noon against Northwestern, which is an 11 o'clock start at Northwestern.
And then next week,
Wrigley Field,
it is the big noon kickoff once again against Indiana, and it's at noon, and that would be six straight weeks of noon kickoffs, and Buckeye fans feel disrespected,
Kenny.
Not
disrespectful. This one, is it going to be on Fox, the Indiana game?
Yes, the Indiana
game. That's their biggest window. That's not disrespectful. What's the matter with playing noon kickoffs?
The SEC's biggest window in the last decade had been at 3:30. And obviously, there would be the big night games. Ohio State used to have a slew of them when Urban Meyer was the coach.
Yeah. Well, I don't like night games. I don't like waiting around all day long. Like the game of the century, what was it?
06 or 07?
06. Yeah. 06, because they would play Florida.
Yeah, because they just couldn't. I remember they couldn't get enough breathing room for me to be comfortable against Michigan.
Oh, that game was crazy.
And my buddy Matt was down there. He got me turf. Yeah, that's right. He got me turf. I told you guys, I was the Ohio State fan. And I remember it was all day waiting around for that game. It was terrible. Give me noon kickoffs, man. The college football kicked off for 100 years at noon. Nobody had a problem with it. Now, all of a sudden, it's a disrespect. I don't think it's a disrespect. It's a big time.
Ryan Day was asked about this growing controversy.
I got to deal with a lot of fan backlash for other things other than the times of games. So I'm going to leave that for other people to deal with. I got other things I got to deal with. You know, whatever they tell us to play, we're going to play. It doesn't matter where it is. It could be in a baseball field. It could be 11 a.m. could be at night. Whatever it is, we're going to put the football down and go play, and I'll worry about the team.
Tough talking, Ryan.
They are playing at a baseball field at 11 a.m.
They actually are, yes.
I have, you know, really, it's just our schedules are crazy on Saturdays depending on what's going on. So I understand if you're like coaching your kids, noon kickoffs suck. If I'm doing a game, you know, it depends when I'm doing a game. So it doesn't matter to me. It just Saturdays are just crazy to begin with. But I, after a while, I hated the night games. I was so sick and tired of all the night games. I get everybody's different. I get everybody's different, but students don't want noon games. Students definitely want to get liquored up all day. They sell alcohol now in the venue, though.
You get liquored up before, and then you get liquored up after. If you win, you get liquored up.
Yeah, we would, for the Michigan game every year, we would do kegs and eggs at 5 a.m. What's the problem? You have enough time to get liquored up.
They sang the song themselves. When we win the game, we'll buy a keg of booze. They didn't just say, like, oh, we'll just bitch and moan because the game isn't at 7:30. Like, no, that's not how it's going to go.
Yeah,
excellent.
You guys know you can drink on Friday, too. You can drink Thursday.
You can drink any day of the week.
It's a lot of days to drink.
Yeah, any day that ends in Y.
Or about last night.
There was something that came out yesterday, and at first it was like for a couple of different teams, and then it got basically put out for everything. That as of right now, you can get a direct-to-consumer. It's not a. I don't think it's a bundle. It's a streaming menu starting on December 5th, so in less than a month. From the FanDuel Sports Network, which is Diamond Sports Group. They've been in the news a lot for what are they going to be covering the Cavs? Are they not going to be covering the Cavs? Same thing with the Gardos. But it says, with no subscription required, so this isn't a bundle, the single game purchase option allows aims to further connect fans to their hometown teams. Consumers will be able to purchase a single game starting at $6.99. Or they can choose to sign up for a monthly or season pass subscriptions to best tailor their viewing experience. So the Cavs are 12-0. Would you pay $7 tonight to watch them play the Philadelphia 76ers?
I mean, I guess if I had nothing else, if I had no other avenue. Although I feel like we get told every time that people still have all these free streams that they find. That they're willing,
we know Adam Schefter does.
Yeah, that they're willing to risk whatever malware, whatever can happen to their phones or their computers, they're willing to risk it to watch one-off games.
Well, I'd rather pay the $7 than have to go over to Verizon and have them to unlock my phone and do everything else. It happened to me one time when I was doing play-by-play way back in the day. My computer was compromised. And I was like, I wasn't watching pornography. And the chief engineer's like, come on, buddy. Like, it's okay. And I'm like, sure. I swear to God, guys.
I was keeping up on D2 women's basketball. What are you talking about?
Guys, I mean, people
call
in.
That is pornography.
People call in and I have to sit there and defend Sarah J. Everybody knows that I have had a viewing experience once or twice. But I'm just telling you right now.
The J is for jump shooter.
It wasn't that. It wasn't in that moment. I go, of all the things that he's never going to believe me. And guess what? Grant didn't believe me. Nice guy, that Grant. Anyway, I would rather just pay the $7, but is there, like, you're 12-0. Like, now that you're 12-0, like, if they were, like, 6-6 to start off the season, I don't think anybody would pay. You kind of, now you want to see how far the winning streak goes. So if you weren't in, like, a range to watch it, I think somebody who's like, all right, I ain't doing nothing tonight. Like, I think that your schedule has to line up with the Cavs, but I think some people would pay $7 to see if the win streak goes to 13, and then maybe pay another $7 on Sunday or Friday to see if the winning streak goes to 14.
Yeah, because it's such a unique start to the year for any Cleveland team to get started like this. And I know we had last week, we were getting ripped on for comparing 9-0 to 9-3 football. I think now you're getting to the point, we looked at the schedule, and I know you can lose one any time. You can just have an off shooting night and you lose to the worst team in the NBA. That can happen. But you've gotten to the point where I think the fans are getting truly swept up in this, because when you bring a new coach in, you know, a lot of people were down. There were a big faction. Maybe people won't admit it now, but there was a faction that were down after they lost in the playoffs last year with, we're just running it back. All these other teams are getting better. Philadelphia is getting better. The Knicks are getting better. And obviously they have not gotten better as of right now. The Cavs are the team that's gotten better with the exact same players.
I was resigned to the thought of, yeah, they're not going to just finish this coming season with the core four. They're going to make some moves. Now, I think that might be heresy to say. It's early in the season. I understand that, but I think that might be crazy. More on that coming up at 7 o'clock. Nick Wilson yesterday on his show, apparently losing to the Saints is one of the biggest no-nos ever.
You can't lose this game. This is a fireable loss.
They did just win. They did just beat the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly. So they've got the first win out of the way. They're not a good team. They're not a team that should beat you. On paper, somehow, you're still the more talented team.
Derek Carr just threw for 270, two touchdowns, passer rating in the 120s.
They've got the Roto-Rooter man as the head coach out there fishing Duke while trying to get a dub.
The Rizzler.
Yeah. And you can't lose to the Rizzler. Coming off the bye, between that dude's a dope, between you're coming off the bye, this is the easiest game you have left on the schedule.
I don't know that you want to win this one.
Okay, define the you. This is the royal we we're talking about.
I think Browns fans in general. I mean, obviously, we heard what Stefanski had to say. Stefanski wants a win. He needs wins, yeah. I think so. But I don't know that Browns fans, I think we're looking at this. Are we pragmatic about this?
I still want to win a game. I still want Kevin Stefanski to be the head coach. I think that it's a very scary premise. I think that Nick does have a point. Like, well, it's a fireable offense. I think they're all fireable offenses, but I can't sit there and guarantee. I mean, I thought we'd be better than Washington. I thought we'd be better than the Giants. I thought we'd definitely be better than the Raiders. And on paper, we're better than all these football
wouldn't
teams, apparently.
Wouldn't the fireable
but
offense
no.
be if you had like a 10-point, you were favorites yeah. by 10
Aren't
points?
We underdogs
we're underdogs.
In this?
We're supposed to lose.
What's the line? Two and a half?
I've seen it. One and a half.
Oh, one and a half. Yeah. So that, well, okay. 1.5 is maybe a pick 'em here and there. But I think it's all there.
Wouldn't
on the deck.
Wouldn't a pick 'em be a pick 'em?
Yeah. So, well, either way, I just think that. If you're talking about a fireable offense, then I think that you're already talking about letting the coach go. I don't think there's any game now on this schedule that turns into, well, must win or you might be ready to pack your bags. I think it's all there for you. You're 2-7 to start off the year. Mm. What can change? Like, does anybody have faith that Jameis Winston's going to do Joe Flacco for the rest of the year? I don't think that people secretly had faith that Joe Flacco was going to do Joe Flacco for the rest of the year last year. And I know that that's kind of gone belly up over in Indianapolis, of course, going for it on fourth down in that situation with a quarterback that can't really run the way that Anthony Richardson does isn't necessarily the smartest thing on the earth, but that's Shane Steichen's fault, not Browns fans' fault, but I know that not a lot of people are watching that game. Either way, I'm just saying it wasn't Joe's fault on that sense. But I don't think that anybody's going to do that. I just think that, honestly, Anthony, like, I don't know how anybody could sit here and say, well, this game, it's a must-win or it's a fireable offense. A 2-7. Now they're fireable offenses. If you lose these games, you're not better than anybody. You're not on pace. Like,
so this
expected
is where
to win.
We
anymore.
Agree on that. I think this is where you'll disagree with me.
Okay.
I don't think we're nearly as talented as even I thought we were. And
well, that goes back to yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that like we in Cleveland, we don't know the players on some of these teams. But as you can see, I think people would much rather be Washington going forward than us. I think people would rather be the Chargers going forward than us, but we have so much talent. I think
they have quarterbacks.
I think they also have young players we don't know. We don't have the young players that other people don't know that are good. Like, I think we just have a bunch of players that are bigger names. Like, David Njoku is a bigger name than a lot of teams have tight ends. He's got 255 yards. We're halfway through the year. He's going to have a terrible production year. Like, that's I think at this point, other teams
have... Well, he's injured and he's had bad quarterbacks thrown to him.
Sure. Okay. I mean, but are we paying attention to other guys on other teams like that? No, we're not.
Well, they're not our team.
Right. So we keep saying we're more talented than all these teams. Are we? Doesn't talent win out sometimes? It hasn't.
Okay. Well, this kind of became a different discussion than what I thought it was going to be.
I'm just saying
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We're both in agreement that we're not supposed to just casually show up and beat all these teams. We're not. I mean, think about this. Yesterday, all I heard around the NFL, Cowboys are the worst team in the league. We got our asses kicked by the Cowboys. So what are we?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.